I want to introduce you to your husband.
Yeah.
I want to introduce you to your husband. All right. This is what you've been waiting for, isn't it? Okay. It says here, verse 2, let him kiss me. When we start to speak about Christ, we think, now, you know, this is where he's spirit. So therefore, he's got nothing to do with this world. And so when you read here, let him kiss me. This, God, is this really true? I mean, we talk about you kissing us. Do you actually kiss people? Well, I'm not sure that he kisses us like I might kiss my wife. But I want to tell you, a kiss is a touch of love. It's a touch which says, I love you. And this is what it's all about. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. In other words, we understand kissing in our world and what that means. And I tell you, I miss my wife's kisses, you know. I mean, some of these guys here kiss me once in a while. It's not the same at all, you know. It's my wife that I, you know. She just does it so beautifully. But you see, we're understanding now that God is for real. When it comes to love, I will tell you there is nobody on this earth that will love you more than your husband that God's provided for you.
That's right.
Nobody.
Amen.
I don't care how good your husband is, but he's got nothing on the Christ. So it says here then, in verse 4, draw me and we will run after thee. Because, Lord, I might slow down. You can drag me if you need to, because I don't want to be too far behind you. I want to be right there with you. Draw me, and we'll run after you. Because the king, hey, did you know that your husband is a king? Did you know that your husband is a king? Come on, this is reality. What does that mean? You must be a princess. If you're going to marry a king, you better be a princess. You can't be marry a king if you're not a princess. And you will become the queen.
Right.
Oh, God, help us. So here we are. He says, the king has brought me into his chambers. The purpose of love, listen, the purpose, the true purpose of love is reproduction. And it is so spiritually also. The purpose of reproduction is, the purpose of marriage is reproduction, the purpose of love. He takes me into his chambers. What are the chambers? They are the conception chamber. And you remember how Isaac took his wife Rebekah into his mother's room, where he was conceived. Why? Because that was special for him. And he said, this is where I'm going to take you, because we're going to do what my mother did, and we're going to reproduce. You see? Listen, this is, you know, I want you to get a hold of this tonight.
Yes, sir.
That the Father, that Christ, rather, who is the seed of God, this is your husband. He is a king. What? He's the king over all the kings of this earth. You see? He is the king. And he wants to marry you. And because he loves you so much, he's going to take you into his chambers, the conception chamber. And there you're going to make love, and I will tell you, you have never had an experience like he wants you to have. We are talking now about experiences that transform our life. Literally will transform you. The best we have ever known in terms of our marriage relationship was the relationship that we have, a wife and a man and his wife. And we think this is the most wonderful thing. And of course you can buy books today that'll give you 100 different ways to make it even better than what you had it in the past. And so all this kind of stuff, I want to tell you, if you have never had a true relation, a love relationship with Christ, you don't know what love really is.
Right.
You don't know. This is something else. This is something else. And so this is very, very important. He takes us into the conception chamber, and he said, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember your love more than even wine. And wine excites many, many people. You know, two glasses of that, and I mean, you know, you're in heaven. Sometimes, it sounds like, anyway. But see, this is an experience beyond, because it's in the spirit. It's a spiritual experience of love. This is not love in the natural. This is not simply the love of a man and a woman coming together. This is God. This is Christ and his bride. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, the woman that came forth out of the mind of the man who was formed, the woman was formed, the man aligned himself with her and said, you are bone of my bones, you are flesh of my flesh, I'm going to call you woman because you were taken out of me. In other words, I am exactly what you are. And that's why Adam became what he was. He was on the outside of the garden because he had lost his spirituality. He was now living as a mortal human being. And he died 930 years later. Whew, that's a long time to live, isn't it? But see, the best he could do then was a relationship with his wife to produce a boy that became a murderer. How many Christians today go to bed at night wondering what in the world their teenage kids are up to?
That's right.
Waiting for a knock on the door to say, I'm sorry, sir, but your daughter has just been raped and strangled and, you know, or something like that. It's a terrible world in that sense, isn't it? But I want to tell you, you are the bride of Christ. But let me tell you, that woman that came forth that day after Genesis 22, verse 22, that woman that came forth became every person on this earth, men and women. We all became the living soul. Everybody. Everybody became the living soul. Men and women, bar none. If you're born on this earth, you're a living soul. You can't avoid it. You're a living soul. And the living soul, of course, is very important for you to understand. What is a living soul? Because I'm going to tell you, a living soul is a person who is under the control of the carnal mind, which is in control of the body. Why do you get sick? Why do you have headaches? Why do you have problems? Because it's under the control of the natural mind, and the serpent has messed it up on you. You see, in the Garden of Eden, it was the serpent that deceived Eve, and she took the fruit of that tree. So we are using a deceived mind in order to live on the earth today. No wonder we make a lot of mistakes. No wonder that we have lots of problems. So it is very important for us to know that everybody on this planet is born into this world as a living soul. And you cannot change that unless something happens. Well, Babylon got into the act and said, well, now I'll tell you what you've got to do, you see. As a living soul, you're a sinner. You've broken the law of God. And God's angry with you. And, you know, he's going to send you to that hot place out there. Unless you give your heart to Jesus, believe Christ died for you on the cross, ask him to come into your heart, confess your sin, and now you're born again, you're a child of God, and you can go to heaven when you die. I don't think so. That is just a humanized redemption, which really has nothing to do with God. I want to tell you tonight that God loves every one of you.
Yeah.
What? Because you're a living soul? Not because you're a living soul, but because of who you really are. You see? And that's all some Christians think about. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you better get rid of that one too. You're not a sinner saved by grace. As a matter of fact, your identity is Christ. Well, tell me something. Has Christ ever sinned?
No.
Well, then you've never sinned. Hello. You've never sinned because Christ is your identity. You just said he never sinned, and he hasn't. And whoever that other guy was that did all that stuff, God doesn't know him. Because God never created him. Listen, God never created a mortal human being. He did not. Therefore, he has nothing to do with a mortal human being. God is looking at every one of you here tonight, and I'm telling you, he is not seeing one mortal human being. What does he see? He sees Christ. He sees Christ. That's who he sees. See, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. He sees Christ in you. That's all. But we see ourselves either as a sinner, you know, or if we've given our heart to Jesus, we try to kid ourselves, well, now we're born again, because we're not. Because to be born again means to be born from above. And that means you are birthed out of God, which means that you must be Christ. And, of course, Christ has never sinned. So, you see, I don't know, where did the Babylon get all this about hell and so on? Where did they get it all from? Well, they got it from the Catholic Church. God bless them. So now we're beginning to see something here. That God wants us to reproduce the Christ. Why? He is already in us. Christ is in every one of you, but listen to me. Christ in you is a seed. Christ in you is a seed. And what does the Apostle Paul say? Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will abide alone. But if it dies, it's going to reproduce.
Yes.
Oh, come on. You see? This is reproduction by the Spirit of God. This is not reproduction as we reproduce as a husband and wife. Now, let me see. I've got to find that scripture now. In Romans. Where are we? Lord, help me. Instead of trying to lead. Luke chapter 1. And verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel of the Lord was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and he was the house of the king. Joseph came from the house of the king. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said to her, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Did you hear that? God is saying to you tonight, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. Because I have never heard anyone else ministering this particular type of ministry. I've never heard anyone else. There may be out there, and I'm sure there probably is. But I've never heard them. But God says to you tonight, you are highly favored. Why? Because you have an opportunity tonight to hear the way in which God wants us to function and to begin to reproduce in a totally new way which you have never learned from your parents, and there's no books on the bookshelf that's going to tell you how to do this, because this is spiritual reproduction, for which both all of us are capable tonight.
Yes.
Every one of us are capable. Why? Because you are spirit, and spirit is male and female functioning together as one.
Yes.
That's what you are. Every one of us here are male and female functioning together, but it is spirit. We are not talking about natural life. We're not talking about physical life. You have male and female in physical life today, and you understand the difference between the two. It's hard to tell sometimes because all the women don't wear dresses these days. But never mind, that doesn't matter. But sometimes it's hard to tell. But the point is this, that God has a new program for us. He wants every one of you to reproduce. Genesis 1 verse 28. I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with the God kind of people. That's what you are required to do. So now how does this happen? Well, it says here, this, first of all, you've got to be a virgin. And I want to tell you, every one of you are a virgin here tonight from God's point of view.
Yes.
Every one of you. You're all virgins. Why? Because you have never produced what God has required. And you couldn't. First of all, because you didn't understand, you didn't know. And secondly, because many of us don't really know what it means to be spirit. Because you are spirit. I didn't say you have a spirit, I said you are spirit. There's a big difference. You are spirit, and that spirit is Christ. And that spirit is capable of reproduction without any help from anybody else. You can reproduce out of yourself, just like God reproduced of his own will, that is, out of himself. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18. And chapter 17 first. Let's have a look here. It says in verse 7, this is talking, of course, to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee. I want you to know that what you are going to inherit from God is not for you. It's for your seed. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
God said to Abraham, it's to you, the promise is to you and your seed. If there's no seed, the covenant will be aborted. Why? Because Abraham died eventually, and if that was it, then the covenant would not have continued. It had to be a seed. Abraham had to produce the Christ. And I'm telling you that Abraham birthed the Christ.
Yes.
He birthed the Christ. And his wife was 90 years old when that child was born, and she was barren, never had been able to conceive, not one time in all of her life. But that time she did.
Yes.
Because she was not producing with an egg and a sperm. She was producing, actually, it was Abraham. Out of his own bowels, God said, out of your own bowels will come this son, this child. See, the first time when he went home and said, Sarah, God said we're going to have a son. She said, well, he doesn't understand about women, you know. I mean, I'm barren. I cannot have any children. So I'm going to give you the slave girl, and we'll use her as a surrogate mother, which was quite legal in those days. And so he brought forth Ishmael. And he said, I've got my son and heir. So when he came to parade him before the Lord and said, Father, thank you. You have given me my son. Here he is. I want you to bless him. He's my son and heir. God said, he's not your son and heir. I told you that your son and heir would come out of your bowels, not out of somebody else. Are you hearing this? You've got to birth the Christ. You've got to birth the Christ. Not anybody else. You've got to birth that Christ. This is a spiritual experience. And I want to tell you, it is a love experience like you have never experienced before. And if you've been married and you've had children, you understand. Perhaps the highest form of love expression is in that act that produces the child. And that's about the pinnacle of our emotional life. It's right up there. And of course, some people will tell you, well, oh, we have this great thing that happens, you know, when we're making love and so on. It's better than all you other guys, you know, and so on. But I am telling you, this is nothing compared to what you are going to experience when you and God begin to make love. When the Christ and you begin to reproduce. And this Christ is being formed in you. It's a spiritual experience. But it outweighs, it is far greater than anything you have known. First of all, let me tell you about my own experience, because I need to tell you this. You see, it was a couple of months ago, it was 12 months ago when God began to show me these things. But it took me several months to really get a hold of this, what it was all about, how does this work. Then, when I finally got hold of it, I said, well, you know, I've been preaching for 10 years that the woman was never taken out of the man, so I know that the woman is still in me, so I'm male and female. One day, just a couple of months ago, I am sitting there, and I look across there, there's my wife. And I looked at her for the first time. I became aware of something. I said, Lord, that's my wife out there. How come? How come she's out there? She should be in here. Because I've been espoused to one husband. And there's my wife out there. I said, this is crazy. But Lord, I repent. I'm telling you, Father, that even though I preached that never did I believe that the woman was taken out of the man, but I did believe it. It was only up in here. I believed the woman was taken out of the man. There's my wife out there. If I had believed that the woman was still in here, my wife would not have been out there. When the three men came to visit Abraham to tell him that he was going to birth the Christ and say he was going to come back and Sarah would have this child. So when that happened, this angel said to Abraham, asked him a question, simple question. Abraham, where's your wife? And Abraham said, she's in the tent. So what? She's in the tent. You cannot reproduce if your wife's in the tent. You've got to have your wife. I mean your true wife. I'm not talking about somebody else.
That's right.
You've got to have the Christ. And so here's Sarah out there in the tent. Abraham's in here, and the angel is telling him, you're going to birth this child. Well, I don't know when it was that Abraham really got the message and the penny dropped, as we say, but he did. Because eventually, that son was born, Isaac. Isaac was Christ.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 1.
Yes.
What does it say? That these are the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham.
Yes.
He birthed the Christ.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Amen.
Well, you see, so he eventually, he did. He birthed the Christ. And you can do the same thing. In fact, this is our assignment from God. Well, now let me tell you. So there's my wife sitting out there. So I said, Lord, what am I going to do with my wife out there? He said, you put her back where she belongs. I said, really? He said, yes. But I said, she belongs in here. He said, yes, put her back. So I did. I put her back where she belonged. For the first time I saw my wife as the bride of Christ. I saw her in all of the glory of the wife of the Lamb, who was Christ. And I put her back where she belonged in here. Of course, I said, well now, Lord, I put her back, but she's still sitting in the chair out there. He said, that's okay. He said, that's just a manifestation of the reality that is now in you.
Yeah.
Because now you have become complete. You have put her back. That's why you couldn't do it before. Why? Because I believed, even though I knew the woman was never taken out of me, I knew that. I know the woman's never been taken out of you. But I'll guarantee you do. You believe that, like we all have. I have. Everybody has. Nobody has been excluded from this. We've all believed it because we all became the living soul. But when I looked at my wife out there for the first time in my life, I realized she wasn't where she should be. So I put her back. She's been the bride of Christ ever since. She's been the wife of the King, which is Christ. She's the wife of the King. And of course, I have found myself to also be complete in Christ. I'm complete in Him because the woman has now been replaced. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's come to me. Thank you, Lord. I was just out of phase. Chapter 6. Verse 15. This is very important. I want you to look at this carefully. Wow, we're going to have to hurry. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? The word members there simply means your arms, your legs, your mouth, your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your feet. All the bits and pieces that go to make you up. You are all of those things that are to become the expression of Christ. Then he said, shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? He said, God forbid. We shouldn't be doing that. See, he also talked to the Corinthian church there about fornication.
Right.
And I said, Father, why is Paul talking to the church about fornication? Surely to goodness, nobody in the church is going to fornicate. And he said, are you for real? I said, yes. You mean to tell me that nobody's fornicating there? I said, well, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely they must be born again. They must be, you know, in Christ and so on. He said, look a little deeper. So I did. You cannot fornicate without using your body. You cannot fornicate without using your body.
That's
So I don't care what you're doing, and I'm not talking about fornication in the natural sense of the word. I'm talking about using your body for anything apart from the will and purpose of God. It's fornication, spiritual fornication.
Yes.
You hear this?
Yes.
It's spiritual fornication. And Paul said, that's out. You're not to do that. Your body belongs to the Christ, nobody else. I mean, you don't hand your wife around, do you? You know, say, hey, take her out for the night, you know, do whatever you want to do. I don't think so. Well, then you cannot give any part of your body to anybody for any reason apart from the will and purpose of God. What? Verse 16. Don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? Is one body. For two, he said, shall become one flesh. But there's still two people if you join to a harlot. This is very interesting, isn't it? Verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body, because you have to use your body to fornicate. It means you're going to use your body for an illegal purpose. That's fornication. Spiritual fornication is using your body for anything that is not the will and purpose of God. That is spiritual fornication. Flee fornication. Verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? But come back to verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Come on, you hear this?
Amen.
Not one flesh, not one body, but one spirit. That's what we are. We are one spirit.
Yeah.
Why? Because Christ is spirit and I am spirit. Therefore, we become one spirit, male and female, functioning together as one. This is reproduction in the spirit realm.
Yes.
And it means that God wants you not just to reproduce a child. No, no, no. God wants you to reproduce Christ.
Yes.
Why? Because your seed is to become like the stars of heaven. Now, when you were you married people, when you had a child, how many kids did you have at a time? One. Sometimes you might have twins, you might have two. But hey, I'm talking about seed as the stars of heaven, millions. How are you going to do that? Birth the Christ, because in him is all of mankind. And this is how we're going to bring them into the kingdom of God. We're going to birth them into this kingdom.
Yes,
right. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us tonight. We're going to birth them into the kingdom. We're not going to preach them into the kingdom. We're not going to, you know, teach them into the kingdom. We're going to birth them into the kingdom, because when you birth that Christ, you're going to birth all of humanity for this generation.
Yes.
For this generation. Mary birthed the Christ for her generation.
Yes.
And we thought that was it. We thought, that's it. You see, Mary did it, so we're right. Now, I want to just take you back. I'm going to finish with this. This is Mary now in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. So it says here in verse 31, you will conceive in your womb and you will bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. And he shall be great. This is the one that you're birthing. Listen to this. He shall be great. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High God, El Elyon. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. You are birthing the king. Come on, this is the kingdom ministry. We are birthing the king himself. And we're the wife of the king. Every one of you. And I want to tell you, you women that have been put down through the ages, you have been put down by everybody, including the church. You become second-class citizens. I want to tell you, God is going to raise you up and lift you up to the same level as the Christ himself. And there's not going to be any difference. But you see, at the moment, there is. And we have women today that are trying to emulate man.
Yes.
They're trying to do what a man can do and think that, you know, I can do it, just anything you can do, I can do better, you know the song. But you see, the truth is that God is going to wipe out this male-female difference. And you're not going to see yourself anymore just as a woman. You're going to see yourself as Christ, because that's how God sees you. God sees every one of you as Christ, not as a man or a woman, because God never created a woman. He only created a man. And tonight I want to tell you women that as you birth this Christ, you're going to find you've taken the place as the wife of the king. And you are now part of him. One spirit. Not one body, one spirit. And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And that's what you are. Joined to the Lord. So it says here, just quickly, just to put this together. It says here, Mary said, how shall this be? Verse 34. In verse 35, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called a Son of God. Did you hear that? This is how it happens. This is the process of reproduction in the Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about some Pentecostal experience. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon you to do what he wants to do, which is to birth the Christ in you. That's what it is. And then it says here, the power of the Most High God, El Elyon, is going to overshadow you. Think about this. I want to tell you, this is an experience you will never forget. And it will transform you. I'm telling you, the day I put my wife back in here, my life changed. Her life changed. It was an amazing experience for both of us. And we have a relationship today that I cannot explain to you. It is absolutely incredible. All the emails I get from my wife are signed, your other half. Because we are one. We are one spirit. We are one spirit. Beloved, this is what it says then. It says, the angel said, behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age. And this is a 6 month with her. And so what does Mary do? She heads off to see Elizabeth. Why? Because she wanted to be with somebody that was pregnant. I'm telling you, you better hang around pregnant people. I'm talking about spiritually pregnant now. You need to hang around people that have got a vision. You need to be about people that can see beyond their nose, can see into the realm of the Spirit and what God purposes for us. I want to tell you, this is a very, very real experience that we have to go into. Now, I've just kind of covered this very quickly tonight. It says here in verse 37, with God nothing shall be impossible. And so Mary rose up in verse 39, and in verse 41, it says that it came to pass. See, she comes to Elizabeth, And as she approaches Elizabeth, the babe in her womb leaped.
Yes.
Oh, God, what did that? In the presence of the king. And when you birth that king, when you birth that Christ in you, I'm telling you, everybody you come near is going to know the presence of the living God. You hearing this?
Yes, sir.
This is the difference. This is the difference. And so it says here, and she spake out with a loud voice. This is Elizabeth, and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And what is this to me that my mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. May God bless you tonight and encourage you. And do not let this thought go from your mind, but let God continue to reveal to you. Say, Father, I want to birth this Christ, because this I know is my destiny. This is what God has intended for all of his people. It's got to start somewhere. And if you people here tonight could get this vision of what God requires of us, and you could birth that Christ, you will turn this place upside down. And people that are just pussyfooting around with Christianity and the things of God, they're going to come into your presence, and the presence of what you are birthing,
yes, sir,
is going to challenge everybody.
Yes.
May God bless you tonight and encourage you. Amen.
Of him who is invisible,
you crystallize
the one who has no form, you localize the one who is everywhere, and you're the one creation's waiting for. Isn't that amazing? Go ahead.
Of him who is invisible,
you localize the one
who has no form, you crystallize the one
who is everywhere, and you're the one
that my heart is waiting for.
Think of that. Just think. You're what is seen of him who is invisible.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
That is a shout. Yeah.
Sure.
Draw me, and I would run after thee. Draw me, and I would run after thee. Draw me, and I would run after thee. On the mountain of Bethel, I would run after thee. So draw.
Thank you. Excellent.